next, Bathurst Spears Broadsides, just a few minutes late, the August 24th, 2003 edition. Stay with us with special guests Becky Johnson and Roxana Kistapache on the CPS Child Protective Services scandal. Three and a half hour show today, which hopefully you'll be able to stay with. If you want to call in, call in number is 427-3772. And coming up this afternoon, not on my show, but later, a very interesting debate between Mike Rotkin, Scott Kennedy, and Joe Williams on the downtown ordinances and the war against the poor. So stay with us for Bathurst Spears Broadsides, and then tune in again at 4 o'clock for that important debate. You can call in your questions at that time.
They run deep. I ain't the bad guy. I didn't shoot anyone. But you got me running like a last Wild West outlaw. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw, wanted dead or alive for having too much fun. Yeah, yeah. I try to make a living, but your work day never stops. Trail well ridden never takes you to the top. I don't want to change things, just the right to choose. But you got me singing those desperado blues. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun.
Desperado Blues Street singer who is currently taking the city of Santa Cruz to court, suing Sergeant Lauren Butchie Baker for a false arrest for a year ago, an incident that occurred on the mall. And it isn't just one incident, I think, that Mike True is interested in. It's the continued pattern of harassment and crackdown against street performers, poor people, panhandlers, ordinary folks just sitting down, young people, political activists, you name it. This is denied by the city council, and it'll be denied tonight by council members Rotkin and Kennedy when they show up on Old Lady Scararm's show later today at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is going to be happening, and I urge you to tune in. But it's happening. And there's this increased climate of repression, not only here, but across the country, as evidenced by the Illegal to Be Homeless report, which came out about 3 weeks ago now, published by the National Coalition for the Homeless and the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty. We issued, HUF, that is, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom group I'm a member of, issued a Santa Cruz local report on harassment of poor and homeless people and increasing criminalization either through explicit laws or through police policies that target or unduly impact poor and homeless people. We issued that report a couple weeks ago, and we updated it for the first Tuesday night out, which is coming up again. The last of the Tuesday nights out are coming up, that is, on Tuesday, of course. Tuesday night from 5 to 8. I encourage you to be out there on the streets supporting the move to reestablish public spaces, to get a public plaza going, which Greg Kindig and others are working on in the Coalition for a Community Commons. Mike True is just a part of that effort. There's also another part of that effort is the celebration of street performers. It's coming up on September 5th and 6th at the Loudoun Nelson Center. I'm not sure if any tickets are left. They're $10. Proceeds go to street performers either for organizing new gigs or maybe even defending themselves against tickets, harassment, and maybe doing a lawsuit. It hasn't been concluded yet. Former council member, mayor, and supporter of the downtown ordinances, ironically enough, Neil Coonerty, Bookshop Santa Cruz owner, has contributed about $3,300 from the profits from the Keep Santa Cruz Weird t-shirt and bumper sticker sales at his bookstore to this fund. Hats off to Neil Coonerty for doing this. Of course, you know, with my other hand, I slap him across the chops for succumbing to accepting the move along every 60 minutes or get arrested law, the set up your guitar and your political table 10 feet from a building, unless you're a police officer or a merchant, of course, in which case you're ignored, or get a $162 citation. Steve Argue, of course, goes to court on September 11th to pretrial. He faces two misdemeanors for the crime of having a political table for 61 minutes on the mall in one place in front of the infamous Pacific Trading Company. That's the business that gave us the sit on the planter, go to jail, $6,600 move around. Actually, it could be anywhere between $6,600 and $12,000. It's not clear, but the actual invoice from the police department for the moving of the railing in front of that Walnut Street planter, one of the three or four planters on the mall that you're actually allowed to sit on without getting a citation, or were allowed to sit on, has now lost all its seating space except for the area right facing the street, so that during those occasional events where people can actually watch parades, that'll still be available, but for the rest of the time, you sit down there either on top of the railing, or if you try to sit down, I guess you can just barely sit down next on the sidewalk. Now I don't think you can. They have to be 14 feet from a building, and I don't think that area is 14 feet from a building. And in fact, of course, the Kennedy-Riley, you can call it Kennedy-Rotkin, considering they're coming on today, these two council members, the Kennedy-Rotkin anti-sitting law prohibits sitting on 95%, that's my ballpark estimate, of sidewalks throughout the city, mainly because most sidewalks, that is in business districts near buildings, are less than 14 feet, maybe sometimes even less than 10 feet wide, so you just have no place to sit legally. I mean, Rotkin and Kennedy will probably tell you, oh, don't worry, it's just for Pacific Avenue, it's only if there's a problem, police won't enforce it. But it obviously creates an atmosphere of apprehension and repression and puts into the hands of the police department a difficult power. Now, I promised Old Lady Scarms I wasn't going to talk at great length about this issue because she is going to be covering it on her show, and hopefully you listeners will be holding forth as well. Joe Williams, who's a peace activist, he's been on the show talking about the Kennedy cave-in. It's more the Kennedy conniving, I've got to call it, around the downtown ordinances this summer, where the city council was supposed to come back with a six-month report, and Kennedy instead did this off-the-agenda unilateral memo, which was supposed to substitute for that. Kind of reminds one of Chris Krohn's recent article. Krohn's written two good articles, not the best perhaps, but it's a beginning. He's a former mayor, for those who don't know. He's also fancies himself a liberal commentator and is getting more liberal and getting more progressive. I want to, you know, give him a nod. I'm writing a letter about Krohn's columns. I'll be talking about his columns, both of which have appeared in the Good Times. One attacking the city manager's agenda, conservative agenda for the budget, and more recently a very specific column attacking the police. Well, attacking the fact that the Brown Act is being ignored or subverted by the city council. That's the law that allows us, the community, to have real input into what goes on at city council so that our tax monies get spent in a way that actually help the community and don't simply help special interest groups or push a right-wing conservative agenda. I know, how could Mayor Riley, Smiley Riley, the baker's friend, ever be considered a right-winger? Well, on issues of poverty and homelessness, she is a right-winger. She has moved to keep sleeping criminal. She has not done anything to rein in the harassment of homeless people. In fact, increased it by people sleeping in vehicles now being targeted in the Harvey West, and in fact citywide starting January 1st due to the infamous Matt Farrell permit parking citywide scheme, which actually goes out of its way to target not just people who sleep in their vehicles, but people who maybe find a refuge somewhere else but leave their vehicle overnight on a street and then try to move it in the morning. That's now going to be criminal behavior in much of the city. Under the new, you thought it was your space, you thought you already paid for the upkeep of the streets, but now you get to pay again for a permit, unless you pay for a permit. And of course, unless you are a resident, it's going to cost you more to pay for a permit. So Ed Porter, Councilmember Ed Porter's assurances notwithstanding that this could be a real opportunity for homeless people, he told us in the spring. Gosh, they can get permits and have special places to park. None of that has come to fruition, just as his promises to end the sleeping ban, or at least put it on the agenda, went absolutely nowhere. He didn't fulfill those commitments and instead adopted his prim school monitor, high school man with the ruler, like a Catholic high school approach by apparently establishing these kind of decorum rules all over town. He's the one who helped push with Riley this massive increase in the forbidden zones downtown that was really, interestingly enough, so much a part of a national wave of repression at the same time as the Patriot Act and Patriot 2 is being concocted and Ashcroft is doing his nationwide tour. We have our local anti-homeless laws being pressed. And it's really important to see the connections between these things, as I think a lot of people do. And some people are standing up for it. As I said, Steve Argue goes to court 10 o'clock, September 11th, against the move-along law. And the move-along law is being used again. It had, for a time after July 7th, I think it was July 7th, July 6th or 7th, 6th perhaps, when the police arrested with massive force, six, seven, eight squad cars and as many police officers, Matthew Hartog dragging him to the car, and Steve Argue for the crime of having a table with political literature in front of the Pacific Trading Company for more than an hour. Since that time, there was a sort of apparently lay off the political tablers directive given to by Chief Belcher or by through the city council. It wasn't clear which. After the city council denounced those of us boycotting the Pacific Trading Company, again, the group that gave us the fence, the railing that removed the seating downtown, there was suddenly this hiatus where it seemed that they were trying to take a step back. And we heard from an activist who'd been to the downtown association meetings. That's the group that has all the merchants get together and concoct this shit, unfortunately, or they seem to be particularly sympathetic to it. We heard that there was scheming afoot through Mike Rotkin and others to, and through city attorney people to kind of revise the move-along law, and that may be coming up at the next council meeting, again, without any public process that we're aware of, except that suddenly they'll present it on the agenda, they'll give you your token 2 or 3 minutes, and then they'll pass what they intended to pass anyway. That's their standard approach, the Gang of Seven, as they call them at the Santa Cruz City Council. So we have a crackdown, and we had this hiatus, but again, it now seems to be over. I spoke to Kuo, who is a fellow you were wont to find in front of the Pacific Trading Company thereabouts near that phallic-looking statue near the crosswalk there at Pacific and Walnut. He was always usually had his face painted and sort of little items in front of him on the sidewalk. He was told now he had to move along every 61 minutes. Again, selectively, the police are deciding the kinds of people that they don't like the looks of, and they're moving them along. This is opposed to basic democratic principles, perhaps is not the proper word. It has to do with fundamental human rights and the right to be treated equally under the law, and the right to have one law apply to all, and not to to have the community or its delegated representatives make the laws and not the police department enact its preferences. And unfortunately, what the Riley Kennedy Council has done, and the council before it as well, the Fitzmaurice Riley Porter Kennedy Premack Council, with Sugar and Crone quietly dissenting, too quietly. They've established a situation where the police can do pretty much what they want downtown, and preposterously so. Hence, when, four jaywalking tickets were made and 3 arrests were made, there were 13 to 15 police officers counted by one of the victims who wrote the numbers of those officers on his arm in black marking pen. And this was all for what? Jaywalking across the street in front of Borders by a group of people who didn't even stop traffic. It was done sheerly as a display of police force. And, of course, the Borders youth are to be commended for continuing to, in their own kind of wild and crazy way, represent and speak up for the right to be on public streets, even when the police are harassing you. But it's not something we want. At least it's not something I want, and I hope it's not something you want. If you have any thoughts on this, we're going to be kind of moving into another topic, Child Protective Services, CPS stuff, and the abuses that CPS against homeless and poor people and against moms and dads generally in the community at 10 o'clock. But until that time, please give a call in, and then at that time you can perhaps call in and talk about this other issue once our guests arrive. The phone number here is 427-3772, 427-3772. FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and really like to hear from you. While we're waiting, let's take a interlude from old Mark Levy, Shiro's Heroes. Here's a song I don't think I've ever played on the radio before, or perhaps once.
From the poor and nameless.
Sorry about that. Here comes the real song.
Country said was right. That's when I still believe, like many friends who were deceived, so young and naive, when we got the call to fight. You can't move that train. You can't move that train. You can't move that train. question what the war was all about. Counting bodies in the burned out villages we bombed. And you can't move that train. You can't move that train. You can't move that train without moving my body. You can't move that train. No, you can't move that train. Kill and maim. But this time I say no. This time I just have to go to try to stop the train that carries murder in my name. And you can't move that train. You can't move that train. You can't move that train without moving my body. Gonna sing it again.
You've got some thoughts on something that's happened to you?
Yeah, last time I went to jail, they told me, the judge says, when you get out of jail, you should think about leaving my town.
What judge was this?
Barton.
Ah, Barracuda Barton.
So, I left town, and they violated my probation for leaving town and brought me back.
I see. What were you on probation for?
It's marijuana.
Oh,
sales, yeah.
And how much had you sold?
Just a 20 here and there to eat, you know.
$20 a bag?
Yeah.
And where did you sell it?
Down here on the avenue.
And did you get a stay-away order from the downtown?
Yeah, sure did.
And when were you arrested for that?
This was back in last October.
And how long, were you convicted of a felony?
Yeah. I spent like almost 6 months.
And had you previously been convicted of a similar felony?
Yeah.
Similar.
So that's why they told me to leave town. So I left town and they violated me for leaving town.
All right. Now, had you, when you were told to stay away from, was it from Pacific Avenue or just for a block on Pacific Avenue?
They told me Pacific Avenue, period.
And how long is that for?
I'm not sure. They didn't state that.
How long is your probation for?
3 years.
All right. And, have you been hassled? You're on Pacific Avenue now. You're under arrest.
I haven't been hassled for coming down here yet.
Okay, why don't you give me your full name off tape, and I can make a note of it. Is it okay if we play this on free radio?
Yeah.
You want us to say your name on free radio?
Just go by the name River.
Okay. So, River, you also say that you were brought back from what county?
Humboldt.
And you actually weren't homeless up there?
No, I actually was getting on my feet.
Where did you have a job?
Yeah, blowing glass.
Really?
Yeah.
How much did you make an hour?
It's all by cells. You blow the pipes and sell them.
How are you doing, let's say, per month?
I don't know exactly how much per month, but I managed to pay rent now, $650 a month, so.
And how did you happen to get arrested?
I was smoking a cigarette in the plaza up there.
In Arcata?
And when they catch you do that, they give you a ticket and run your name.
Now, would you say Arcata is more intense in its harassment or less than Santa Cruz?
It's less. So it's less, yeah. They're not like somebody else could have got a ticket for smoking just as easy as I did. You know, it wasn't picking on me because I dressed less classy or whatever. You're not supposed to smoke on the plaza. If you do, you can get a ticket. That goes for anybody there.
Well, thank you, Rivers.
No.
A police officer stopped a man from the Pacific Trading Company at about 5:55.
That you were up in Rosie McCann? They don't want you to come back here.
Where is Rosie McCann?
Oh, right here.
Oh.
The owner told me that she asked you to leave several times, and you wouldn't
respond. She asked me to leave, and I did leave.
Okay.
I'm honest. I wasn't there. She asked me to leave, and I obviously left because I am not in there right now.
Okay. I'm just letting you know that she said you're not welcome in their establishment anymore.
I'm sorry that that has to happen, but I guess that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. So if you go back in there, I'll have to cite you for trespassing.
Well, I have no reason to go in there. It's a good restaurant, and I'm not
I'm just letting you know what the owner told me. Okay, take care of yourself. Have a good day.
Officer. Any comments for Free Radio?
I was in there, but they did not ask me several times.
Now, how long ago were you in there?
Like 45 minutes.
And what were the circumstances? In other words, what
circumstances were I was going to get ketchup for a hamburger that I had, and she told me to leave, and I was done with the ketchup, so I put it back and told her I was leaving.
So we're talking to a Boulder resident. What's your name?
Cherie Shanti.
And Cherie, are you, are you just a visitor from Boulder, or are you just a person who's been through Boulder and Santa Cruz?
I live in Boulder and have lived there off and on for 7 years.
And you were praising the street performing scene. What about it you think is worthy of praise?
It adds a lot of color and a beautiful element to being outside and being in town. It makes it more like a village community instead of a disconnected business commerce center.
And are you yourself a performer?
Yes, I am.
Just what kind of performance do you do?
I do spoken word, music, hip-hop, but I don't perform on the streets. But I definitely appreciate the value of different varieties of street performers.
What do you see here in Santa Cruz compared to Boulder?
I see less street performing than people kind of hanging out. I think it would be really nice if it was encouraged people could sell their art and be able to contribute what they do in their art form to
the Do they do the that public. In Boulder, sell their art on the street?
Absolutely.
And what's the system they have? Is it fairly laissez-faire, or do you have some permits or lotteries or zones? What have you got?
I'm pretty sure there's a permit you have to get, and I'm not sure if it's monthly or yearly. I would like to see that that's not the case, but I think that it is.
Welcome to Santa Cruz. Good to have you here. Where's my hug? The man who wants to go to the Sentinel in the good times with a story about...
Okay, they took me to jail the other day, and they...
Your name, sir?
My name is Larry Jackson. They say you have a right to 2 phone calls, but I didn't see a telephone for a week. Not a telephone or a shower. They didn't book me. Okay, no fingerprints. No mugshot, no wristband or anything.
Who arrested you?
Santa Cruz PD.
What was the charge?
I was arrested on a warrant for a diversion I didn't complete, allegedly didn't complete. Okay. So at any rate, I was arrested on that, and then they took me from the street right to a medical isolation cell in the O unit, and I was held there for a week without the opportunity to use the telephone, without being allowed out of my cell to take a shower, 7 days in a locked cell, all right? No court appearances, no telephone, no shower.
Do you have the bubonic plague? What's going on?
No, I didn't have any. No, actually, I didn't.
They claim you're about to kill someone in case of your psychotic rage.
I don't know what their claim was. it never really came out. I mean, they made excuses, okay? First they said TB, because I said that I spit blood, but like, they knew within 2 days that I didn't have TB. But still, they held me for 7 days without a phone call, without a shower. And I mean, that's ridiculous, okay? They say that you're supposed to be, you're allowed to call a lawyer. But they held me incommunicado for 7 days.
What day were you arrested?
I don't know. It was on a Thursday, not on a Wednesday. I was arrested on a Wednesday.
When this, like, we're talking about a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
So it would be
today is the 19th.
I was arrested on the 30th of
July.
The 30th of July.
Right.
And I was released on, let's see, the 1st would have been a Friday. And so the 8th, I was released on the 6th of August, okay? But in that
Hiroshima Day.
Pardon me?
Hiroshima Day.
Oh, was it Hiroshima Day? Oh, okay, whatever it was, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that I didn't, all right, they say you have a right to 2 phone calls, but I didn't even get to see a
now,
telephone.
Which officer arrested you, remember?
I don't remember his name.
And where did this happen?
It happened at the corner of River and Highway 1.
About what time?
3 p.m.
What were the circumstances?
Oh, I was where I sleep, and I was sitting down there, and a cop came down there and ran a warrant check on me and found out that I had a warrant and took me to jail.
And now, what was the ultimate outcome? You went to court finally, or you were just released without a court date?
No, I went to court, and then I was sentenced to a Prop 36, which I want to appeal that.
Because?
Well, because I was given a diversion, and I completed like half of my diversion, and then I caught pneumonia, so I left town and moved indoors, so I wasn't able to complete the whole diversion because it was so damn cold outside, and I caught pneumonia. So I wrote the judge a letter, I told him what happened, he said okay, he would reinstate my diversion.
What's the judge's name?
That was Judge Kelly. Okay, since Judge Kelly's moved to another, he hasn't heard my case, they put me before Judge Acow. And now my lawyers, all right, see, other people have had 2 or 3 chances at doing a diversion. It depends on how much money you have, I suppose. If you're homeless, you don't get 2 chances, which I don't understand that. I don't know why a homeless person wouldn't get 2 chances to complete their diversion when it's harder to complete a diversion when you're homeless.
Wait a minute, you had your chance, you lost your home, you're out of here, man.
That was it, you know, that's exactly what was it. And it's harder for a homeless person.
You get a loud bite, maybe they'll give you a diversion.
To complete a diversion than it is for someone who has housing. I mean, if you have housing, it's a lot easier to do anything, okay? But if you're indoors and you have money and stuff, they'll give you 2 or 3 chances to complete your diversion. But if you happen to be poverty-stricken and homeless, okay, and it's cold out wintertime, and for your health you have to seek shelter, then you don't get another shot at
So what are your plans? Are you gonna move forward and do something about this?
I'm hoping to address the court about the other day when they sentenced me, I was under duress then. I asked my attorney then to ask for another opportunity at diversion, but she said that, oh, they're not going to give you a diversion.
What was her name?
That was Carrie something, Carrie Camarina. Anyway, they summarily dismissed my request to have another shot at diversion.
They're going
to
try and get that at some point.
Yeah, I'm still going to try and get it. I don't see how they can summarily dismiss it. I mean, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution guarantees us equal protection under the law. Okay, the key word there being equal. Now, if other people that live indoors, have had 2 and 3 chances to do the diversion, then I would think it would be, you know,
and if you've had 2 or 3 chances to say this, and I think it has been well said.
Well, I think if I got another shot at diversion, then that would be equal justice, okay? I would be receiving equal protection under the law.
We've been talking with
Larry Jackson. And
thanks, Larry.
Okay.
We're talking with a man from Togo. Sir, what is your name?
Ken Aguyan.
And Ken, what's on your mind?
I just spoke my mind that the judge who are getting paid as a judge to the taxpayers' money, rule out the people who are poverty stricken, and people have to be out in the street. So, hey, you're right. But the leftist youth are nothing but
chaos and anarchy.
Anarchy and havoc.
And havoc. Excuse
yeah.
me. I wanted to be at the right.
Yeah, and we need a dictator. That would be you.
What can I say? I am not your Fuhrer yet. So, Ray, here we are at the kind of wind down of the infamous Kitty's Night Out on the mall. It's about 7:40, and you say that the bikers were getting their comeuppance, the motorcyclists?
Oh, yeah, I was out in front of, like, you know, Starbucks, that corporate shithole down the street. And anyway, some bikers were driving by, and it was a male and a female. They're from Prunedale. I talked to them later. And they were just, like, they're working it just a little bit too hard on their fancy bikes with their shiny pipes with no mufflers. And, of course, the bicyclist police took offense because they didn't have any shiny mufflers or bikes or even motorcycle licenses, probably. So they had to chase them down. They chased them down three blocks before they actually caught up to them because the motorcyclists couldn't hear their winky-dink, like, sirens on their bicycles. So they finally pulled them over, and they harassed them, and they wrote them tickets and everything like that. You know, after all the ticket writing was done, I went up to them, and I asked them if they had any kind of comments for any media, if they wanted to say anything, and they were just, like, completely appalled that anyone would do such a thing, because, I mean, come on, they came down here to shop and to buy coffee at Starbucks, and, you know, hell, I told them, I said, well, you know, there's one thing that you can do that will really do anything more than anything else, and that's make sure you tell all your biker friends not to come to Santa Cruz, not to ride their bikes downtown, and definitely don't spend any money in any of those venues. And they said, you know what? That's exactly what we're going to do, because fuck this town, that's the way they're going to treat us. So then I went over and I talked to the cops, and I asked them if they had anything to say, and they just wouldn't, of course, say anything to me, but I told them that I appreciated that they're doing a fine job, and it's nice to finally see them persecuting somebody who does have decibels that are above the above the level of a harmonica or a guitar, excuse me. So, yeah, just doing my thing here in Santa Cruz, as always, Robert.
Ray, is the rumor true you're going to be joining the Downtown Association tomorrow morning?
Well, you know, Robert, I thought about that, and as an anarchist, I can't really join any kind of organizations. I mean, that would be completely against everything that I stand for. I mean, I don't know. I look at you. I mean, isn't your thing about undermining the organizations from the outside and making them accountable for what they do? I mean, I don't see you joining any of the political structure or wanting to run for any kind of elected office or anything like that. You know, that's how I feel. I mean, I'd rather throw stones at them from the street.
And there you have it, the reason why we've been so successful here in Santa Cruz. And we're down on the mall. It's about 5 after 12 on Wednesday, August 30th, in front of the uptown in the Cooper House, listening to a little music on the sidewalk here.
Walking on by the arcade, is the light bus 2 feet up straight where he
Justin Werner.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Any comments for Free Radio?
Oh, I hope things start looking more up, and I hope the gas goes down.
Any hassles from the gendarme?
Not today. So far, so good. As long as I don't sit in the wrong spot, I'll be all right.
You haven't been ticketed yet?
Not yet, no.
And how many times have you been contacted?
Well, so far once. I've only been here 2 days, though, so...
What did they tell you?
Well, they told me I can't sit on the planter, that if I sit somewhere else, I should be all right. But I'd only imagine that it's probably just like the rest of the musicians in the town. If I show my face long enough, eventually they'll try and run me out.
Is that what you've heard?
Well,
I don't give any money to these musicians.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've heard, and just from talking amongst other musicians. Thank you very much. It just kind of pans out that way. Sounds like my best bet's San Francisco or somewhere else, but you know what? I love this town.
Have you played here before?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yep, I've been coming here for the past...
Joe Williams. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Robert. You're way in the background, so you can beef up your voice a bit.
Alrighty, well, how's that?
Not any better, but anyway.
Well, how's that? That better be better?
Good enough, I suppose.
Okay. Well, you know, I speak softly, and we won't get into that. So, Joe, you...
Carry toothpicks.
sometimes. You are going to be talking at 4 o'clock today with our old city council pals, Squawkbox Scott Kennedy and Riot Act Mike Rotkin. Is that true?
This is rumors are all true.
And what are you going to be talking about? What some sort of a two-hour, you going to just sort of be shooting the shit or what?
Well, according to the show host, it's going to be a discussion, not a debate, about the downtown, it's probably going to be more about the downtown ordinances, but to my mind it's going to be about the downtown scene in general.
Uh-huh.
You know, what the climate is after the passage of the ordinances. So we might get into some details about this ordinance or that ordinance, but I think, to my mind, it's the city council is claiming things are fine, things are grand, the climate has improved, you know, confidence has been restored, everybody's happy, you know, performers got what they want, merchants got what they want, everything's hunky-dory. And I just think that's a complete failure to take reality into account.
Well, sales are up, new businesses are coming in. What's your problem there, Uncle Joe?
Oh, I don't know. See, that's the spin. I mean, you're going to have to put spin on this stuff if you want people to come down there and draw down that high square footage vacancy that they got going. It's still way up there. It might have dropped a bit, but they still have a pretty high vacancy rate, higher than it's been in a bunch of years. So they got to put, you know, it's the whole PR spin on, if you want to attract people, you act like it's something it's not.
Well, in fact, didn't Scott Kennedy generously respond to your respectful questions at the first July council session, where you said, where the fuck is the downtown ordinance 6-month review that was promised us? So you put it in somewhat different terms.
Well, yeah, so somewhat different terms. Well, I don't know, generous is the word. They had promised to come back with some things. The staff was tasked to do some things. The council was going to do some things, and they came back with it. I can't say I'm really happy with what they came back with at all, and the fact that it was used. Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, the fact that it seemed to be used as kind of a way to kind of put the kibosh on, any formal official 6-month review, which they promised. So, I mean, it's kind of happening informally, but, I mean, I would like to have seen the full council take it up, and I would also have liked to have seen the public have an ability to respond, you know, to what their perceptions are as well, and get it on the record, not just this informal stuff, you know, on pirate radio, for crying out loud. You know, that doesn't qualify as full public review.
Hey, well, Joe, I'm looking forward to having you, to hearing you. Hopefully I'll be near a radio at 4 o'clock, and if not, you're just going to have to hold your own against meets the two titans of terror at the city council.
Well, I believe there'll be phone calls will be taken, so if people want to tune in then and fire some stuff at Kennedy and Rockin or fire some stuff at me, feel free.
Is there a number or an email address people can call you at or email you at before the show if they have kind of questions they want to preemptively put to you for your suggestions against...
Sure, I can pop an email address, resist, R-E-S-I-S-T, at best, B-E-S-T.com.
Okay. Yeah, these are the two endlessly recycled council members. Rotkin is, I guess, his fifth term or something. He's been around for ages, and Kennedy keeps coming back. So, Joe, I wish you luck, and
okay.
Let's talk more. At least I'll be listening, hopefully, and good luck.
Okay, thanks, Robert.
All right.